There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
The notes of the call reflect a conversation far more damning than I or many others had imagined. It is shocking at another level that the White House would release these notes and felt that somehow this would help the president's case or cause. Because what those notes reflect is a classic mafia-like shakedown of a foreign leader.
On this Wednesday, live local talk for the next couple hours. Although this portion of the show is live from Washington, D.C. at the Phoenix Park Hotel here for the Federation of American Immigration Reform and their Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. And coming up, we will talk to some of the congressmen from Alabama. Bradley Byrne will be on with us tomorrow. Mo Brooks might be today. Scheduling's moved around because they're voting, imagine that, in the House right now as this town is all talk of impeachment, or talk of not impeachment. And that's what we're going to get into. Of course, that from Adam Schiff earlier today, using it's one of the many things Schiff had to say, but talking about it being a mafia-like shakedown in what the president was saying to the president of Ukraine. So I thought it'd be worth doing this. I'm going to read two parts of this, and hopefully you've gotten a chance to see the transcripts already. But I'm going to read the two. I think this is my best guess where Schiff got his angle on the shakedown from is this paragraph here from President Trump. This is what he was saying in that phone call. Okay, so imagine I sound like President Trump here. Well, it's very nice of you to say that. I will say that we do a lot for Ukraine. We spend a lot of effort and a lot of time, much more than the European countries are doing, and they should be helping more than they are. Germany does almost nothing for you. All they really do is talk, and I think it's something that you should really ask them about. When I was speaking to Angela Merkel, she talks Ukraine, but she doesn't do anything. A lot of the European countries are the same way, so I don't think it's something you want to look at. But the United States has been very good to Ukraine. I wouldn't say that it's a reciprocal. I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily because things are happening that are not good. But the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine. All right. So there's what the president said. From that, Schiff says that is a straight up shakedown. Well, let's do this. So the response there from President Zelensky said, yes, you are absolutely right, not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. And I can tell you the following. I did talk to Angela Merkel, and I did meet with her, also met and talked with Macron, and told them that they are not doing quite as much as they needed to be doing on the issues with the sanctions. They are not enforcing the sanctions. They are not working as much as they should work for the Ukraine. It turns out that even though logically the European Union should be our biggest partner, but technically, the United States is a much bigger partner than the European Union, and I'm very grateful to you for that, because the United States is doing quite a lot for Ukraine, much more than the European Union, especially when we're talking about sanctions against the Russian Federation. I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate for the next steps. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes. And y'all, javelins are not actually like the track and field javelin. I think they're a shoulder-fired missile, if I am correct, in the military gear. Somebody might correct me. I think that's what the javelin is. So there's from that, Schiff takes a shakedown. It sounds like a statement of facts. Now here's the thing. Can you read something into that that's not said? Yeah, you know, it depends on how you see this whole thing. You hear that and say, oh, well, that's the president just stating facts, and
And Zelensky hearing those facts and knowing what that means. It's a big jump. You could say that you believe that. Is that an impeachable offense? Is that a high crime or misdemeanor? What is that? You know, it goes on, the president says, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation in Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the attorney general call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. Zelensky said, yes, it is very important for me. And everything that you just mentioned earlier, for me as president, it's very important. And we are open for any future cooperation. We are open to a new page on cooperation in relations between the United States and Ukraine. For that purpose, I just recalled our ambassador from the United States, and he will be replaced with a very competent and very experienced ambassador who will work hard on making sure that our two nations are getting closer. I would also like and hope to see him having your trust and your confidence and have personal relations with you so we can cooperate even more. Then he goes on to say, I will personally tell you that one of my assistants spoke with Mr. Giuliani just recently, and we're hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine, and we will meet when he comes to Ukraine. I just wanted to assure you once again that you have nobody but friends around us. I will make sure that I surround myself with the best and most experienced people. Also wanted to tell you that we are friends. We are great friends, and Mr. President, have friends in our country, so we continue our strategic partnership. Now, to me, so that sounds like Ukraine wants to stay in the favor of the United States, and I don't care who's in the White House, that would be true. And the president pointing out the things that have done. Now, is that, you can say, oh, well, that has a pall on it, maybe. Is that something that's an impeachable offense? Because that's what they're doing right across the street from us here. We're at the Phoenix Park Hotel, not far from here on Capitol Hill. You've got Democrats rallying around looking for votes and looking for votes on impeachment. Is this an impeachable offense? And I think that's a fair question to ask, and one we'll talk about throughout the hour. Phone number, text line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, we are here to talk immigration, of course, at the FAIR event. And it's one of those things, I asked it this morning in our discussion, will some of the attention be taken away from the push for immigration reform since there's just, the latest distraction of the day? And this one could be one that lasts months, if not more. We'll watch this. And what does this mean for members of Congress? We're going to ask that, too, when Congressman Brooks comes in, Mo Brooks from AL5. And, of course, tomorrow, our Congressman, AL1's Bradley Byrne, joining us. So we'll ask those questions of those congressmen when they come in tomorrow. And, of course, we'll talk about their votes and what's going on in the House right now. All right. Also, remember, you can check out more of the show, whether you're looking for show schedules, podcasts, all that kind of good stuff, by going to our website, fmtalk1065.com, where the online opinion poll questions there, top stories of the day, all at fmtalk1065.com. And remember, social media, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. And find me directly over on Twitter at fmtalk1065. Got lucky. Got to go to lunch at the Capitol Hill Club today. That was pretty cool. So we got that checked off my to-do list. I put at least one picture up. I think I put a picture of a coaster up. A coaster for that. I'm going to put more pictures up in just a little bit at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter. All right, we'll check Dr. Bill's forecast in the news, which I don't even want to get into the temperature difference, Dalton, but let me say it was significant when I got here. It's not freezing or anything, but it's not. What is it at home today? 100 degrees?
Yeah, that's actually 115 the last I checked. No,
beautiful.
We're sitting
beautiful.
At a high of 94 today. 94.
Well, so that's not bad. Okay, so it's 83 here. So it was a significant change when I got off the plane last night. Hopefully I can usher some of that weather to come on back home. All right, let's do this. We'll run to break and we'll come back and more discussion. We are live at the FAIR Hold Their Feet to the Fire event at the Phoenix Park Hotel here in Washington, right in the middle of everything going on around the Capitol. And take your calls and text as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 1065.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington as we are at the fair Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. More on that in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. Been shaving with Harry's for about 6 years now. And I've said this before. If you've been on the fence, you've heard me tell you all the great thing about things about Harry's, like the fact that you're paying $2 per blade, like half of what you're paying right now at the grocery store, the pharmacy, or the convenience of having those blades show up at the house. Or how about the fact that you can get the exact number of blades you need? In other words, and go on the Harry's site and say, you know, maybe you need 6 replacement blades a month, or you need 12, whatever it is, you can customize that, and that's exactly what you get. You don't get more than you need, and you get them delivered to the house, so you don't have to remember to go out and get them. Well, special offer right now, get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. So you've been on the fence about this for any period of time. It's a $3 deal here, y'all. Harry's believes you shouldn't have to trade great quality for a low price. You deserve both. And right now, you can see what I've been talking about. Their exclusive offer. Join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's with a special offer for FM Talk 106.5 listeners. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. Get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you. Help support the show. Check them out, harrys.com. Make sure to use code MOBILE. All right, and talking immigration, you know, Congressman Mo Brooks is going to be on with us in just a little bit, and we could talk about the making of the laws, reforming the laws on immigration. But when I think about this immigration debate, I think about the people on the front lines of that. And there are a whole bunch of folks from law enforcement, which I love, in here today, and specifically going to talk to Sheriff Charles Jenkins from Frederick County, Maryland, who's joining us now. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. We think front lines of the immigration and illegal immigration fight. Frederick County, Maryland, what?
Absolutely.
You really? So talk to me about that. Talk to me about the situation in Frederick County. And explain to folks back in Mobile, where is Frederick County, Maryland, compared to where we are in Washington?
Okay. Frederick County, Maryland is about 1 hour from where we sit. Central Maryland, a rural county, population 252,000. Great place to live, work, raise a family. But we have been affected by illegal immigration for years, and the impact is getting greater and greater all the time. This whole thing about just because we're not a border county does not mean we are not impacted. I'm sure Mobile's impacted by the same right. problem. So this has been a problem. It's getting worse, and I chose to do something about it 11 years ago after I was elected sheriff.
Yeah, that's so you and you were you've been in law enforcement for how long?
30 years.
And now what kind of changes have you seen in 30 years? Because you were in Baltimore?
No, I've always been in Frederick County.
Okay, so you're in Frederick County. What have you seen in Frederick County?
Well, I've seen it changed just tremendously. So right now, the biggest problem we deal with is the heroin, opioids, and fentanyl coming into our county.
Right, it's very similar back home.
It's infused into this country across our borders. Mm-hmm. The cartel infuses these products, these illegal drugs, to basically kill Americans. I mean, we demand it, we get it, and they supply it. So we're feeling that. We've also felt the impact of criminal gang crime, MS-13. People that have come into this country illegally, violated our laws, they have come to Frederick County and committed crimes, many types of crimes. You name it, armed robbery, rape, child sexual assault, human trafficking, drug trafficking, aggravated assault on police officers. We have seen it all.
You know, I'm thinking about the fact that if you're seeing them in Frederick, you know, in Frederick County, a lot of that comes through down on the Gulf Coast where we are. That
it
same
does.
Thing, you know, that
it does.
And the drug trade using I-10 and I-65, and the flow of illegal immigrants. We have issues with it in our counties at home, but more of it may be the fact that those folks are coming through our area, heading to places like
they could
like
be
Frederick
absolutely.
County.
And Central Maryland is a very attractive location to certain populations from Central America, El Salvador. I'm told by DEA folks that El Salvadorians who migrate to America look at Central Maryland as very, it reminds them very much of their home country with the rolling hills and mountains and the remote
right.
areas and farmland and things like that. So along with the fact that Montgomery County and Prince George's County in Maryland are sanctuary counties. Maryland is a de facto sanctuary state.
Talk to us about that, because coming from Alabama, that idea is pretty shocking, right? I mean,
yeah.
we're like, you've got, here you are, you're operating, I'm talking to, you know, law enforcement friends back home. Think about this, the situation the sheriff's in. He's in a state
that is essentially a sanctuary state with sanctuary counties. I mean, people fight the tough battle at home, but the state of Alabama is not a sanctuary
you
state.
You kind of feel like General Custer at the Little Bighorn, you know?
what do you say when you're
all
doing
all I can do, all I can do is what I have the authority to do within my county, which I have partnered with ICE for 11 years, mm-hmm. the 287G program, which basically, when we arrest someone for committing a crime, if that person is found to have been in this country illegally, we basically don't release them back onto the streets. We partner with ICE. We do the detainers. We mm-hmm. hold, and we deport them. ICE deports them. We don't. We hold. We facilitate a process. Well, we cooperate.
But that's what. Am I wrong in saying that's what you're supposed to do?
That's what everybody should be doing.
I mean, that's what.
That's what we do for other law enforcement agencies from state to state on warrants,
right?
Fugitive warrants, federal detainers for other agencies. But because ICE has become a dirty word in some circles in politics, ICE
right.
has become a dirty word.
Yeah, they're trying to. I mean, you've got people right across the street from us trying to shut down ICE.
Right, right. So people won't cooperate. And I've yet to understand why, because think of this. Over 11 years, again, very effective program. We don't have a high crime rate per capita. Okay?
Right.
So over the course of this 11 years, we have arrested. They were arrested for another crime, brought into our jail. We don't inquire about their status on the street.
Right.
Brought into that jail. They're booked. They're found to be illegal. We file the paperwork, prepare detainers, do the investigation, turn them over to ICE, and we have taken 1,530 criminals off of our streets, have been placed into deportation, including 110 criminal gang members, mostly MS-13.
Which is wild to think. I mean, when I think, and I know your county, I've driven right. Ed, when I think, this is widespread. When you've got that kind of gang element, we're not talking about San Diego. We're not talking about down the Texas border. We're talking Frederick County, Maryland.
Every county will become a border county if we don't do something. If these guys right down the street, men and women sitting in the halls of Congress, don't do something, don't allow ICE to enforce the law, don't encourage locals to cooperate, every county is going to be a border county.
I want to get into that, too. But from your perspective as a sheriff, you talk about these sanctuary counties. And stuff. Do you ever talk to those sheriffs? I mean, you say, why?
I do. Maryland's funny because the responsibilities and duties of the sheriff vary from county to county.
Okay.
In my county, I'm a full-service agency. I have law enforcement, I have the detention center, and I have the court security civil process. Some sheriffs in Maryland only have the civil process in courts. Some only have law enforcement. And I guess that's about it. Full service sheriffs like myself make up probably less than half of the sheriffs in Maryland.
Really?
I talk these things, but because of politics, sheriffs who are elected in the more liberal counties don't discuss it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to have the conversations. They don't believe in doing the things that they have the authority to do.
But they're still, even because, if it's a liberal county, there's still law enforcement.
It doesn't matter. It becomes about being reelected.
Yeah. Just like at home, sheriffs are elected.
Here.
Yeah,
just right a block away here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's about. But it seems like, you know, a pox on the people who wouldn't vote for somebody who is doing what they're to enforce laws. Y'all don't make laws. Y'all enforce laws.
Listen, we don't.
You need, enforce the law.
We enforce
that is
the
your
laws
job.
On the book. Whether it's a gun law, a law in regard to burglary, theft, fraud, whatever it is, we enforce laws. We don't make laws. We don't write laws.
But
by God, we enforce.
But you have neighboring counties that are not doing that.
We have neighboring counties. Montgomery County, contiguous to us, has declared themselves a sanctuary county. So I'm worried now that crime, that element, is going to impact my county.
Sure, just by proximity, they're going to be there.
Absolutely, they don't know jurisdictional boundaries.
Right. What is the? I mean, the future of this is what? Let's talk about what they could do across the street right here. If you had your wish list, Sheriff, and you could say these one to three things they could do, what would it be?
It would be end sanctuary policies nationwide.
Okay,
make them illegal. Okay,
federal oversight coming in. If there's somebody running a sanctuary operation in a state or county municipality,
cut off the funding. Whatever they could do, eliminate sanctuary policies. Build that wall. Before you do anything, you have to have a starting point, and the starting point will be build that wall. Whatever that wall is going to look like, build it. Put it in place, a barrier. And thirdly, step out of the way and let ICE do their job and encourage local law enforcement to cooperate. If no more than pick up the phone or hold someone to honor a detainer, cooperate. You don't have to be in a program. You don't have to be a partner. Cooperation, like we do with every other law enforcement agency.
Right. To think about that you have a system where people are openly saying, We're getting somebody here who's illegal, and we're not going to hold them for ICE.
That in itself is a crime.
Good to hear you say it, because I don't know it. You know it in law enforcement, but as a citizen, I hear that and I say, how do you pull that off? How do you go, hey, we're openly not complying with the law?
Yeah, that's criminal. It's criminal. If you don't do something to prevent a crime or do what you can to prevent a criminal situation, you are complicit. In my book.
In my book, too. That's what, when I see these sanctuary things, I go, how long can that go before somebody says, you are openly disregarding the rule of law?
If we don't stop this, and I was at the sheriff's conference here a couple months ago, and the conversation with Border Patrol authorities was the fact that right now, and people may not realize, maybe they do, but we're at grave risk right now of completely losing control of our borders. And when that happens, you're going to see millions of people migrate here, mass migration from Mexico, Central America, the Northern Triangle countries, and as far away as South America, and we will not be able to stop it. So we can't sustain this.
Correct.
Either economically, the criminal justice system, safety, security of our communities. We can't allow this to happen, and it's got to start right down the street.
Sheriff Jenkins, thank you for your time. Thanks for what you're doing for our country.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're coming right back.
Enjoy your deer hunt in Bedford.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we'll talk some hunting in Pennsylvania here in just a second while y'all get the news. So we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. This part of the show, we are live at the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington, D.C., here for the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire event, and talk a lot of immigration at the same time, of course, talk about what's going on just down the street from me right here with this push for impeachment with Democrats in the House. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. I do want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and find out what's happening on this Wednesday. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going? It sounds like you're having fun up there.
Man, it's a good time. It's the highest density of talk radio show host I've ever been around. It's a little bit unnerving, to be frank with you.
You're probably going to be embarrassed in all of them and showing them up. So, hey, just watch your six when you're heading out of town, my friend.
That's right. What's happening at the shop? What do y'all got going? What's going on with precious metals, collectibles?
Actually, gold and silver prices have dipped just a little bit, and we were doing something sort of fun to help folks out. We've got silver as low as 99 cents over spot. So prices dropped, and we lowered our premiums. We want to help people that want to get into gold and silver. They want to hedge a little bit. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for them. So they need to come out of the shop and check it out, and we'd love to talk to them.
All right. And while they're there, just a quick question. What's the stock of Opinels? Because I got to make a new run and get some more. How are you looking?
I guess I better restock quickly, because usually when you hit the Opinel knives, you clean this out pretty well. But all jokes aside, we're holding pretty well right now. We even restocked that cane knife you picked up the last time. I still got a couple of those left.
Y'all got to see this cane knife. It's awesome, whether you're working in the backyard or cutting cane down on the causeway for a duck blind or something. And it's a beautiful knife as well. So you do have some of those in stock.
We certainly do. And everybody remember, knives are tools. They are a great tool. If you start carrying a knife, one of those Opinels, you'll be amazed how often you pull it out and use it for very, very important, useful things.
That's for sure. Angelo, once again, tell folks how to get to Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
So we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. They can always check us out on the website at mobilebaycoins.com. Or if you want to see the cool stuff that's coming in every day, check us out on Facebook.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean. Be safe.
You too. Thank you very much, Angelo, checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And we're checking in from Washington. And by the way, I have a bunch of thank you from the text line, people suggesting places to go for lunch, go for a beer. I like this. We did the Dubliner here, Dubliner last night. That's where we had a little event there. Gordon Deal, who has a show that comes on before Dalton and Kelly come on with Mobile Mornings, got to visit with them and maybe had a few pints of Guinness with those folks. Then had lunch today at the Capitol Hill Club, put that picture up on Twitter. That was kind of neat to go in there. It's not, I guess I had ideas, this the Republicans Club there that's pretty much within sight of the halls of Congress. I thought it was good. I don't know. I mean, it was nice, but I thought it was going to be different. It was kind of like a really nice cafeteria or a clubhouse, like maybe a clubhouse at a country club. something like that. But it was just people. I mean, I had the buffet. It was that fancy. I had this. I had the buffet. It was good. A lot of people to talk to. And coming up next hour, AL5's Congressman Bo Brooks is going to join us. When you think immigration discussion, he's been pretty solid on this from the word go. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. Plus, Dale Jackson from WVNN will talk with us as well. All right, phone calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Will says, what would happen if you let a citizen go that had a federal detainer? Well, you know what? Great question, Will. It's against the law, but there's not enforcement here. There's not enforcement on it. And that was the thing that is really baffling me, is you can feel however you want on immigration in this country. But if you're in law enforcement and you don't hold a detainer, it's the same of doing it for, how many times do we hear a news story? Mobile's arrested so-and-so and they're holding them on a warrant out of such-and-such, and that other municipality is going to come get them. It's the same process. Can you imagine if one law enforcement group just flagrantly said, well, if y'all are coming from Texas, if we arrest that person in Alabama, we're not going to hold them for you on anything. It's what they're saying to the feds. And it's just baffling to me that we have no more clarity out of Congress here on this, that you could just flagrantly say, well, we're arresting somebody who is an illegal immigrant who has violated federal law, and it's not their jurisdiction to enforce it. Sure, they're not, but we're not going to hold it for the law enforcement agency that is. It's just baffling to me. All right. All right. Oh, yeah, some questions about, and I want to hear from you, too, if you've heard the fallout from the, I guess, today's move for impeachment, or I'm sorry, yesterday's move for impeachment that's now today's move for impeachment going on just down the street from us. I want to hear different reactions to this. I read the documents, and I heard Schiff's comments, and then I read the documents, and to me, I'm looking at something that I don't see at this point a high crime or just misdemeanor. Right, you have President Trump asking Ukrainian President Volodymyr, is that good enough, Dalton, Volodymyr Zelensky, to look into former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter during that phone call in July. Call lasted 30 minutes, according to the, I guess that's the timeline on it. I mean, we're just looking at the, I don't know how fast they talked. We just read the words. Conversation reportedly central part of this whistleblower complaint, which, by the way, that is a hearsay. It's a third party issue. So there's a, like, do I think that either side, I don't think President Trump or former Vice President Biden look great out of this phone call. I mean, I think a lot of people assume this is what goes on, behind the doors of the highest levels of international, let's say, relations. But is there something there that makes you say, yeah, this is exactly what it leads to, impeachment? And remember, impeachment, you've got a process here that this will be done just for effect. Unless there's something else comes out, I don't think you're going to have any kind of defection of Republicans in the Senate. Right now, the House is going to accuse, right, how this works. The House is the grand jury. And they make the accusation, they bring the case up, then it goes to the Senate, which is the jury, right? That's who hears it. So it's going to go through the House. They got the votes. The Democrats got the votes in there. And it's going to go to the Senate, and nothing's going to happen. Well, what's going to happen is Republicans won't vote to impeach President Trump. So what's the net effect of this? Is the net effect just purely political? I mean, at this point, with the information we have now, I don't see any kind of defection. I mean, you think of what happened to Nixon. Nixon ended up, they didn't go forward with the impeachment because they knew that there were enough Republicans in the Senate that would have voted to impeach. That's not the same deal today. They don't have that today. So this will all be an exercise. It'll be kabuki theater. Democrats will do what they do, and the Republicans will do what they do. And at the end of the exchange, he will not be impeached. Is this the new policy? Is it going to be to do this every time you have a split House, you have a split Senate, to bring up the other party's president up for impeachment? And then have it go to the other body and not do anything? I think that's one of the questions we want to talk about. At 343-0106, 343-0106. Let's see. Terry says, sounds like Trump was also asking him to look into election tampering. Yes, there's a lot. If you go through that and read that, there's a lot of things they talk about. And some of the things that were discussed, are they? Yes, I can say that you can imagine that there's a subcontext to it, but just reading it, saying that the United States is helping Ukraine more than the other European countries, and the other European countries should have a bigger interest in helping Ukraine than a nation that is across the Atlantic Ocean from it, that's just like factual exchange. Now, if people say, well, there's an implication there. In reading a transcript, I don't know that I can say that. It could be you could see it one way and say it's there, but do you think there's in those words, do you think you're reading that it's all of a sudden going to be that the United States, if we don't get what we want, we don't get a dirt on Biden, that everything that has been worked up to at this point with Ukraine is going to be stopped? All right, we'll hear from you. Hop on the line. I can take your phone calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington here for the Federation for American Immigration Reform's Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. And we are talking immigration throughout today's show and tomorrow as well. But a lot of other news in the mix, and we'll get to that as well. I want to read through some of these texts here and maybe take some phone calls. Plus, we'll talk some state news. This happened while I was on the airplane. The Tuberville getting endorsement from Alpha. We'll get into that in just a second. I think a huge, huge piece of news in Alabama's Senate race. All right, from the text line, Terry says, all right, so are we going to pull out all the Obama international conversation transcripts and put them under the same scrutiny? Good question. Eric says, Sean, it sounds like throwing a flag for targeting, and then you go back and look at the replay to see if there was an actual offense that took place. Seems like that's where we're heading with impeachment proceedings in this country. Interesting analogy. Jace says, so the Dems are having a meltdown because POTUS asked Ukraine to investigate crimes within their country, but they're not mad about three Democratic senators writing a letter this last May to Ukraine's prosecutor asking for investigations. It's like they stepped on a rake on purpose. And then he said, never mind that Biden's on record on video bragging about strong-arming the Ukrainian government over billions of dollars to end a criminal investigation. Now, and I'm with you in that, except that Quinn said there was, you know, was talking the other day, and it is interesting, might there be some subtlety to that, whether that was already going to be, what was Biden trying to do? I mean, that's the problem. You know, he can go back and say, well, I was trying to do this because you had a corrupt prosecutor there. The question is, too, if one side of this person's corrupt and one side says they're as pure as a driven snow, shouldn't we be able to get some more clarity on that? All right. Questions. Kim says, if the Fed will not prosecute them for not holding them, back to the talk about sanctuary cities and counties, like we talked to the sheriff about that they're dealing with in Maryland, said if the feds will not prosecute them for not holding them and there's no consequence for their actions, how long before no law can be enforced to discrimination? You did not prosecute him, so you can't prosecute me. Kim, that's a great thing. I mean, will you go back and people say, wait a second, you know, if they start enforcing it, they'll say, well, you didn't do it before, why are you doing it now? Although, rule of law, Kim should say the rule of law, we hope, maybe for a limited time. All right, and we could take some more discussion on this impeachment proceeding, also we could immigration discussion, but I do want to get this story Sean Ross posted up yesterday over at yellowhammernews.com, and headline, Tuberville lands coveted Alabama Farmers Federation endorsement in the 2020 Senate race. Y'all watch this. This is a big piece of news. This is one of those things when I say pay attention. This is a pay attention. Sean writes, Tuesday might go down as one of the biggest days in Alabama's 2020 U.S. Senate race when all is said and done. I mean, underline that, put a highlighter on that. Sean Ross is spot on. As first reported by Yellowhammer News, former Auburn University head coach Tommy Tuberville has been endorsed by FarmPAC, the influential political arm of the Alabama Farmers Federation, so ALFA. The endorsement has been ratified already by the Federation's executive board and subsequently made official in a release. The Federation endorsement is widely considered the most important grassroots support a statewide candidate can have in an Alabama Republican primary, and FarmPAC's composition and process lends to this credibility. More than 100 Federation leaders, including representatives from all 67 counties, gathered in Montgomery on Tuesday to hear from the candidates and make endorsement recommendations, which are formally approved by the executive board. Federation President Jimmy Parnell said, quote, Alabama Farmers Federation was founded to give farmers a voice in the political process and to advocate for issues important to rural families, end quote. It goes on to say, candidates are eager to meet with this group because they understand the value of the FarmPAC endorsement. As a representative of rural communities across the state, these county leaders reflect the values, concerns, and hopes of many Alabamians. Okay, that's fine. That's true. That's what they're saying from Alpha. Let me give you some stats and numbers here. It's 100 and, let's see, out of the last two election cycles, I think, if I'm correct, out of 165 candidates that won, 161 of them had the Alpha endorsement. It's across the state. Think about that track record. And that's what stands out to me. Goes on in the story from Sean Ross. He said, Yellowhammer News learned that during FarmPAC's consideration for Senate candidates, a second ballot was needed between the top two vote getters, which were, you guessed it, of course, Tommy Tuberville and Bradley Byrne, because a majority was not reached on the first ballot. Reacting to the endorsement in a statement to Yellowhammer News, Tuberville said, I am humbled by the support of Alabama's largest grassroots organization. They know that I am the only candidate who will go to Washington and fight for the hardworking people of Alabama and not the special interest. The last thing we need is one more career politician going to D.C., end quote. Before FarmPAC met this week, the organization commissioned a poll of the Senate race that showed Tuberville leading with an even bigger margin than his own recent internal polling did. Now, Ryan, we've talked about this before. Campaigns have their own polling, right? That they release it if it serves them. Sometimes they don't release it if it doesn't. But they're running polls all the time, whether we, the people, get to see them or not. They're paying out of the campaign to get the polling done. So the FarmPAC folks are saying their poll of the Senate race showed Tuberville leading with a bigger margin than even Tuberville's polling. With the former football coach already in the front of the pack, this endorsement, which entails financial, grassroots, organizational, and phone banking support, is undoubtedly another huge boost for Tuberville's campaign. Of course, Republican primary to be held on March 3rd. So, and we'll talk about this because this is big. First of all, the rest of the pack is in the background. Not saying there's not a chance for somebody else to step in and win in this, but the battle is, you know, a two-person battle. But when you have somebody step in at this level and make what has been, I don't know, 161 out of 165 endorsements been successful, it's a big story. It's a big story for sure. And we'll talk about that. All right, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. All right. Yeah, Kim, we need to get a law group, and every time somebody in these sanctuary cities is arrested, sue them for discrimination. It's an interesting angle. And if y'all, what Kim's saying on the text line is, if a person in one place gets held on detainer and turned over to ICE, and then in a neighboring county doesn't, then we have an even application of law. I don't think, Kim, it's an interesting angle. I gotta let that bounce around here. All right. Yeah, and you're right. John had texted me Alpha, and I'm sorry. You had Alabama Farmers Federation, and then you have Alpha, the insurance company. Said Alpha does not, the insurance company, endorse political candidates. It's a different portion of it. Okay. Alabama Farmers Federation, who owns Alpha, endorsed Tubbs, who I feel is a joke. This is a stab in the back to Byrne, who had stood by us as Baldwin County farmers. So, John, that's interesting. So how many people? Obviously, it was close. They said they had to send a second ballot through to see where the votes were going to go on this. So, obviously, it was close the first time between Congressman Byrne and Tuberville, but then they went back and sent a second set of votes through, and they came up with this. All right. Hey, coming back from the break, we'll talk with you, and we'll talk with Congressman from AL5, Bo Brooks, who has been a guest with us a lot of times on the telephone. Sure good to have him, I would say, in studio. I would say in remote studio here in Washington. We'll talk about what's going on right across the street here with the votes that the Democrats are trying to bring. At the same time, we'll talk some immigration reform and a whole lot more when we come back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.